I am very excited about our next feature on the program. I wonder whether you've heard of the legendary Hollywood costume designer Edith Head. Well, she worked on over 1,100 films. She dressed the greatest stars of Hollywood. She received 35 Academy Award nominations and won an unprecedented 8 Oscars. Well, Edith Head is about to be brought to life over here in the UK by US actress Susan Clarsson. And I'm very pleased to say Susan is joining us on the program now. Susan, welcome to the program from California.
Yes, it's a pleasure to speak with you, Andrew, and we look forward to being across the pond the beginning of the next week.
Tell me then, Susan, where did you first come across Edith?
Well, I'm of the age, so I always knew about Edith. She was on television. And when I was watching a biography on Biography Channel, I saw a biography about her. And so as I watched, I realized there was so much more to this woman, just in addition to the glamour, to the Hollywood, to the awards. She succeeded in a man's world at a time that was unprecedented. She started in 1923 and lasted until 1981. Her last Academy Award was for a wonderful film, Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid, starring Steve Martin. Carl Reiner directed it, and he wanted her for the cachet of saying gowns by Edith Head, costumes by Edith Head. So it was thrilling to be able to do the research and bring this wonderful person back to life and help keep her legacy alive.
And her legacy is woven into the entire history of Hollywood, effectively, more or less from the beginning, isn't it?
Absolutely. She transitioned and adapted to every phase in Hollywood and even was nominated for a BAFTA for The Man Who Would Be King. So she dressed Sean Connery, she dressed Michael Caine, many, many, was best friends with Alfred Hitchcock and dressed all of the Hitchcock blondes.
60 years, in fact, more than 60 years, she was in the business. And you've mentioned just a few of the people she worked with, but she was working with Grace Kelly, Audrey Hepburn, Mae West. I can think of probably nobody in my sphere that would ever have met one of those, let alone the number that she was working with. And I guess she built up this reputation. And the more she worked with the names, the more other names, in inverted commas, wanted her.
Absolutely. And they could request her. She was the costume designer at Paramount for 44 years. But when she made the iconic film All About Eve, which was at another studio, Bette Davis requested that Edith do her dresses. And so that's how that happened. Her Academy Award record will go unbroken. It's interesting, when we were in London 18 years ago, this is my going into my 25th anniversary of touring the show, but the great Anthony Powell, blessed memory, wonderful British costume designer, came to the show and he had this big smile on his face and he goes, "Spot on. It was spot on." And then he offered to loan me two of his Academy Awards for the set. But he shared a story that was wonderful. When he came over to Hollywood and he was designing for Papillon, the film, and Edith took him under her wing and she saw some fabric that he was using in Papillon. It was a striped fabric. It was wonderful. And she said, "You know, Tony, I would love to get some of that fabric. I'm creating a suit and I think it would be perfect." Well, of course, the suit was for The Sting, Robert Redford. And they were just great, great companions. And I've had the good fortune of meeting many people who knew Edith. Tippi Hedren has seen the show 3 times, which has been wonderful, and I feel so blessed. And Dame Cleo Lane and Sir Johnny Dankworth, both blessed memories, came to our first night when we were in London the last time. So it's a joy to connect. People need a respite from what's happening in our world, and the cinema always let us out of that kind of feeling. It took us back to another world. I know I'm not Edith. Most people, I'll say most people know I'm not Edith. But I stay as Edith after the show because people want to share stories, film they saw, a great movie palace. When we were in Edinburgh, a woman said, "Oh, you know, Miss Head, during the war," and I put in quotes, "Miss Head, during the war, seeing your name gave us a chance to escape what we were going through." And it's such a joy and privilege to be able to offer that to people. And, you know, Edith had a wicked sense of humor. As she says, she enjoys gossip every now and then, but she never repeats it. That's why there were no kiss and tell books about Edith Head.
Because she would have been in exactly the right place, slightly under the radar from the really big names, to just hear what was going on. So she took a lot of secrets to her resting place.
Yes, Lucille Ball once said, she said, "Edie knows all our secrets, but she never tells."
It was a different world then, wasn't it? People really did keep secrets. Now,
Absolutely.
Susan, you are the closest I'm ever going to get to be able to interview the great lady herself. So, if I was to ask her where this interest in costuming comes from, was it something that she was interested in from a child or did it develop?
I think it developed. She always wanted to be good at something great. And as a child, she was brought up in a town called Searchlight, Nevada. And she said that being brought up in Searchlight, Nevada, prepared her for handling all the snakes and scorpions she would be working with in Hollywood. But she was an only child, and she would gussy up all of the animals she had around. They attended her soirees. Fast forward, she went to school. She studied languages. She went to University of California, Berkeley, and then got her master's degree at Stanford. Now, she was teaching at the Hollywood School for Girls. And during her summer holiday, she needed money. She was looking through the classifieds, and it said, "Wanted sketch artists work for Cecil B. DeMille, write Howard Greer for appointment." Now, Howard Greer was a chief designer at Paramount, and he really defined glamour in Hollywood at that time. And Edith, while she was teaching, was asked to teach an art class. Well, she knew nothing about art. She says, "Well, I guess there was an assumption if you spoke French, you could paint." Well, she enrolled in some art classes, so she borrowed sketches from her classmates. She borrowed landscape and portraiture and advertising, put them all into a portfolio, made an appointment with Howard Greer, and he said, "I've never seen so much talent in any one portfolio." And so she got the job thanks to the borrowed sketches in her portfolio. But she was like a sponge. She studied with the greats, Travis Banton. So she learned. It was certainly a learned skill. And as she says, she was a better diplomat than a designer. And she learned how to work with the studio bosses. And she was so smart, and she surrounded herself by wonderful people. In the day, she had 60 people, you know, working for her at Paramount, and very loyal. She was extremely loyal to all of the stars that she dressed.
Tell me, Susan, how did you go about creating the show? Because the conversations you're having come from her words, don't they?
Yes, they do. I was very fortunate when I was watching this biography channel. I saw that her autobiography, which was published posthumously, called Edith Head's Hollywood. It was out of print, but immediately I went and checked, and it was back in the day in the United States when you could dial 411 and get information, get somebody's telephone number. And the woman who wrote the book with Edith, having 11 hours of taped interviews, Patty Cagliostro lived in California. I called her number. I said, "Is this the Patty Cagliostro who wrote Edith Head's Hollywood?" And with reticence in her voice, she said, "Yes." I said, "Well, I'm Susan Clausen. I am artistic director of an intimate theater in Tucson, Arizona, and I'm very interested in doing a theatrical entertainment about Edith Head. May I fly over and meet you?" And she said, "Yes." And so I flew over, we met, and we were like magnets. So there, I have 11 hours of taped interview. She left all her papers to the Academy of Motion Picture Art and Sciences library. And it was back in the microfiche day, if you remember that.
Oh,
We
yes.
were, oh, yes. And the Academy has been wonderful in supporting this project. You can see on when we're in London again, you'll see there are two Oscars on the set that were actually prop Oscars that the Academy loaned us when they were setting TV shots in the day. And I would research all day. 6 months I researched before I put any words on paper. I could do a different show about Edith every night for at least 2 weeks because there's so much information. So then it's finding what is the arc and putting a piece together. I studied her voice, I studied her movement, I studied the Academy put a reel together. All this was before the convenience of Google search, but they put a reel together. So I understood how she moved, her type of humor. And again, I would say at least 85 to 90% of the words I actually speak on stage, either Edith said or it was written about her, it was in her own interviews. Because if she were alive today, she would be the greatest influencer the world has seen. Because in the day, she was syndicated in 35 to 40 magazines. She had a radio show, she had a TV show. Most recently, there was a Google Doodle about Edith Head. There was a postage stamp in the United States about Edith Head. And almost daily, do I get a Google alert that some designer somewhere is mentioning Edith Head in some journal. So her name is out there, and there's an animated character. Edna Mode from The Incredibles is an homage to the real Edith Head.
It's so wonderful that not only yourself, but all these other wonderful people are keeping the memory of Edith Head alive. Susan, this is the 25th anniversary of the first time you put the show on. We are so glad that you're bringing it back over to the United Kingdom. Let's talk about the business end. When, where, and how can my listeners get tickets?
It's at Crazy Cox in Piccadilly Circus, April 26th and 27th. And we are so thrilled about that. So you can go to that website to get tickets. Always plan to stay after to get your photo taken with Edith Head. We never realized that Edith would be such a rock star, but everybody from Joan Rivers, blessed memory, to Dame Cleo Lane and Sir Johnny Dankworth all had their photos taken with Edith and shared memories of their time. So again, it is such a privilege to help keep the legacy of this incredible woman, and she becomes an inspiration to others who truly are following their passion and do it with grace and humor and integrity.
The full details then for the shows. There are four performances, two on Sunday, April the 26th, one at 5 p.m., one at 7:30, and then again on Monday, April the 27th, the performances on that day, 6:30 p.m. and 8:45 p.m. Just Google Crazy Cox. Cox is spelt COQS, the French way, and all that information will come up. And for further information, you can email info@crazycox.com. Susan Clarkson, it's been an absolute pleasure. I wish you the very best for your performances as Edith Head, or as I should say, becoming Edith Head at the Crazy Cox. Let us know how it goes. I would love to have been there, but unfortunately, circumstances mean I can't. But will you let me know afterwards how it went? I'd love to know.
Absolutely. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart to the top of my head.
Susan Clarkson, or should I say Edith Head, thank you so much for joining us.